Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 29. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor?
I know that Kurt was trying to tease this morning when he said, You can ask my cousins about me when I was growing up. I will assure you, they will only tell you good things. And the reason I can assure you of that is this. I was just a little bit younger than them. So they were teenagers when I was going to visit family. So I'll trust me. They won't tell you anything about me because, you know, if memory serves me correctly, one of the most exciting things about being a child is the ability to change your mind about the future. I know we have this wonderful class of seniors that is just now graduating, and I like to go and ask them, what are you going to study? What are you going to do? And some are going to the military. Some are going to college. And it seems that now, as they've graduated from high school, they've got their future pretty well outlined. But when we're young, we can change at the drop of a hat. I remember when I was growing up and I was watching that little 12-inch black and white screen that tells you how old I am. And maybe I was watching Roy Rogers and I would run into the kitchen and I'd say, Mommy, I'm going to grow up and be a cowboy. And then maybe later that day we're driving down the street and a fire truck would go by and I'd say, Daddy, I want to be a fireman. And then the next day it was a policeman or a farmer, never wanted to be a ballerina. But the best thing about being a child is you can change your mind about your future. But there comes a point when we can't change our mind anymore. We realize that. Well, what I would like to do in the lesson today is I want to tell us some things that we can do no matter our profession and no matter our age. These will cost us absolutely no money, but they will cost us some time. But trust me, these are the most rewarding things that we can ever do. The first one, we can become a healer. Now, I'm not talking about a doctor or a nurse. I'm not talking about a faith healer that preaches out of a tent somewhere. I'm talking about a healer in the concept that everyone is either a healer or a herder. And brethren, we've got too many herders in our world today. We've got herders that will hurt with guns and knives. We've got herders that will hurt with bombs and tanks. We've got herders that will hurt with sticks and stones, but to me, the absolute worst of the worst is people that will use hurtful words to hurt those around them. We just don't need that. We need to be healers and not herders. As proof text, I want to refer to the passage that Colton read a moment ago. We normally refer to this as the parable of the good Samaritan. Can you see my air quotes here? The good Samaritan. Isn't it a shame that even that day and time they had to differentiate between good and bad? Wouldn't it have been better if he was just a normal Samaritan? But he wasn't. Now, Jesus in this context is teaching about taking care of our neighbors, loving our neighbors. And he tells a story about a man who was taken and beaten and robbed and left on the side of the road for dead. And in succession, three different individuals come by and see him there needing their assistance. The first one was a priest. How fortunate could he have been? A priest walks by. We all know that a priest is going to stop and render aid. But no, he doesn't. Maybe he's got other things on his mind. Maybe he has other things that are more important at that time. But for some reason, he sees the man. He crosses the street and he passes on the other side. He did not render aid. He would not be qualified as good. And then a priest and then a Levite comes by. A Levite was of the priestly tribe of Israel. They were in charge of taking care of the temple and all the other things that have to do with worship of God, especially in the Old Testament. A priest comes by. How fortunate this man must have been. A Levite comes by. If that priest wouldn't help, then certainly the Levite would help. But no, he sees the man, crosses to the other side, and goes about his business. Maybe he just didn't want to become involved. But for some reason, he also didn't qualify as good. And then a Samaritan comes along. Now, we're familiar with the Samaritans as a body of people. They had been taken away into captivity years before. They intermarried with Gentiles. And then someone brought them back and put them right between Galilee in the north and Judea in the south, and the Jews just did not like that one little bit. In fact, they considered the Samaritans to be the very social bottom of the totem pole. The only thing that was worse than being a Samaritan was being a dog. They thought nothing about them. Had that been a Samaritan in the ditch, none of those Jews would have stopped, and they would have justified not stopping for him. A Samaritan passes by. He sees the man. He has compassion on the man. He takes care of him. He binds his wounds. He puts him on his own donkey, takes him into town, pays for his room and board, and tells the innkeeper, if he charges anything else while I'm gone, you just start a tab because I'll take care of it when I come back. And though I didn't have Colton read this verse, verse 37 shows Jesus turning to that Jewish audience of his and says, you go and do likewise. Later in the same spirit, Paul would say in Galatians 6 and verse 2, as you have therefore opportunity, do good unto all men, especially of the household of faith. And he also says in that context, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The next thing we can become is an encourager. And I offer two passages of Scripture as proof text. The first is from Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 5. Here the Apostle Paul is listing some of the gifts that God gave to the early church to help them bear up under persecution and help them enlarge the borders of the kingdom. One of these things is called exhortation, the gift of exhortation. The root word for this Greek word, exhortation, is the same root word as the word Jesus said when he said, I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Same root word. So just as the Holy Spirit stands by our side to encourage us, so we are to stand by each other's side and encourage each other. But when we think about an encourager, we think about Barnabas. You know, Barnabas did many things to cause him to be called the nickname Barnabas, son of consolation or son of encouragement. The most widely known is where when these Jews came to Jerusalem from Passover to Pentecost, and after Pentecost they were supposed to go back home, but since the church started there on the day of Pentecost, they wanted to stay and be with their fellow Christians and the apostles, and so they ran out of food and other necessities of life, and so Barnabas and other Christians who had lands and property sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to those Christians now who were in need. But there's another story about Barnabas that I want to use in this context. You remember when God separated Paul and Barnabas and wanted to send them into the Jewish, into the Gentile community. They went on that journey. Well, Barnabas had a nephew named John Mark. And yes, this is the same John Mark that wrote the second gospel account. He encouraged John Mark to go, and John Mark did. No doubt Paul encouraged John Mark as well. But something happened. The Bible does not tell us what it is. But something happened, and John Mark decided to go home. Maybe he got sick. Maybe the travel was just too hard for him. I think he probably got homesick. He was a young man. But for some reason, he went back home. And the next time Paul and Barnabas were going on a missionary journey, Barnabas encouraged John Mark. And Paul said, no, I don't want him to go. Now, brethren, I know this was the providence of God, because Paul went one way with Silas. Barnabas went another way with John Mark. They covered twice as much Gentile territory. So I know this was God's plan. But Barnabas continued to encourage John Mark. And we don't hear of him again until the latter part of Paul's life. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is writing to Timothy, asking him to do some things because Paul was in prison in Rome and couldn't do them for himself. And among the things that Paul asked Timothy to do was to bring John Mark to see him. He said, he is helpful to me in the work. In other words, we know Barnabas was not going to give up on John Mark, but neither did Paul. And Paul forgot about those things, whatever they were, and he encouraged John Mark in the gospel. You know, there are some people today that just have a knack of showing us where we've gone wrong. And they do it in a loving and gentle way. They just have a knack of encouraging us and getting us back on the straight and narrow. Some people are always doing that way. Some people are always doing exactly the opposite. But we need encouragers. You know, I'm so thankful in this world in which we live that there are still some influential people in the world that have not given up on our world. And God bless them for their effort. But on a personal note, I thank God for the encouragers that are in this congregation, that fail to give up on this congregation, fail to give up on this pulpit and our outreach into the community. I thank God every day for you. I don't know where we would be without you. The next thing we can become is a good listener. I doubt if this story is true, but I heard one time about a man that took out an ad in the personal section of the newspaper that said, for $20, I'll listen to all your troubles. The first hour after the paper hit the newsstand, he had over 100 calls. Brethren, all of our problems today, originally I put in my notes most, but I'm saying all of our problems today are because of a lack of communication. We don't mind being talkers, but we just don't want to listen. And it amazes me. God gave us two ears and only one mouth. It looks like He's telling us, listen at least twice as much as you talk. But we don't want to be good listeners. We don't want to be involved in other people's lives. I saw a statistic where it was talking about men. It said men today watch television more than they talk to their children or their spouse. They watch television more. They spend more time in front of the television than they do talking to their children or their spouse. And it went on to say, and when they're talking to their children, usually they're lecturing them. And of course, when they're talking to their wife, they're being lectured, but that's a different lesson entirely. But we need to become good listeners. Next, we need to be forgivers. Now, you're paying close attention, but listen closely to my wording. Grudge bearing, bearing a grudge, is much harder on the grudger than it is on the grudgee. So what we need to do is take it easy on ourselves and forgive people who need our forgiveness. We need to forgive them for them. We need to forgive them for us. We need to forgive them whether they did it purposely or accidentally. And I point out what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He pulled no punches. He said, if you forgive those that forgive you, if you forgive those that you need to forgive, God will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive, God will refuse to forgive. You know, a lot of us remind me of the Apostle Peter, and I commend Peter. But on one occasion, it's almost like Peter wanted to keep count. You know, it's like we say, all right, you did this to me. If you do that a second time, I'll never forgive you. Peter even expanded that. He said, Jesus, how many times by law am I obligated to forgive my brother? And he suggested 7. And Jesus said, no, not 7. Not even 70 times 7. We need to be perpetual forgivers. Now, if time permitted, we could also talk about the fact we need to be helpers. You remember when God sent Moses to Egypt to secure release of the Israelites? Moses began to make excuses. Brethren, God has never allowed excuse making among His children. He didn't with Moses, and He won't for us. Moses needed help. God provided that help. Let's take that in two directions. If we need help, we will help each other. And if someone else needs help, maybe we're the help that they need in their lives. We need helpers in the church. We also need supporters. I'm not a professional basketball fan. I know the Rockets are losing to the Spurs, but I'm not a professional basketball fan. But I know that there's something in professional basketball that I can use as an illustrative point. You see, there's something in basketball called the home court advantage. In other words, all the basketball teams, the talent is relatively equal. I know on any given night, the worst team can beat the best team. But relatively, all the talent is equal. The court is the same size. The rim is the same height. The ball is the same dimension and weight. So what is home court advantage? Home court advantage ensures that the home team will win more games at home than they will lose. Why? Because of the fans. Because of those who are supporting them, those that are cheering them on to victory. We need supporters in the church. And finally, we need to be bringers. I mentioned Peter and I commended Peter. Probably Peter is in the top 5 of the greatest, most active Christians to ever walk on the face of the earth. And yet, Peter wasn't originally a disciple of Jesus. Do you remember that history? Andrew, his brother, found Jesus. Went and got his brother Peter and said, come, I found the Messiah. I don't know if Peter would have ever found the Lord had Andrew not brought him. You know, I guess I could have summed up this lesson by saying, Christians are helpers. And Christians are encouragers. And Christians are listeners and forgivers and helpers and supporters and bringers. Or I could have just avoided all this time saying, we need to become Christians. We need to be doing what Jesus would be doing and going where Jesus would be going and teaching what Jesus would be teaching. And all of these other things would just fall into place. So let me just ask that in a question. Are you a Christian? Have you given your life to Jesus? Are you walking in His steps? Are you following His teaching? It's not an honorary name. It is certainly an honorable name, but it's not just given flippantly. We're either a follower or not. Are you a follower of Jesus? Well, if not, we're going to extend the invitation and give you an opportunity to do just that. We can find in the Bible where Jesus says, and the apostles amplify the fact, that we need to hear the truth. Faith comes by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once we've heard it, and if we believe it, then we need to acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior. We need to repent of all the sins and shortcomings in our life. Not that we will be perfect, because we will never be perfect, but we will be forgiven. And then we need to start over, as did Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You need to enter not your mother's tummy, but enter the waters of baptism. Peter says in Acts 2, that is for the remission of sins. So if anyone this morning needs to respond in order to be baptized or for any other reason, we invite you to come as we sing number 878. Will we stand and won't you come?